You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, well, Rocket can. The hardest working man in college basketball joins us. Stay hungry. Stay humble. He is the man with a plan and knows everybody in the great sport of college hoops. Joining us is college basketball's hungriest insider for CBS Sports, our friend John Rothstein. John, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Great to be with you on the inaugural edition of your show.
Haven't talked to you in a while, man. How you been?
DA, we're like Stallone and Rambo 2. We're day by day.
No tournament last year must have been killer for you. How'd you handle a March without a tournament?
First night went to Bar Coastal, Kerry style wings, waffle fries. Woke up the next day, you know, processed my preseason top 45 for next year. And then I realized there was going to be about 3 weeks left in March with no basketball. It kind of felt like the alternate 1985 and Back to the Future 2 when Biff was running Hill Valley.
Did you find the almanac?
Unfortunately, I did not, because it would have cured a lot of things, because then I would have had the results of the tournament that never happened.
All right, so I think a lot of our listeners, they don't know who's good and who's not. I think that because of the year off last year and because some of the traditional powerhouses aren't that good, they need some guidance. So can you help us? I'm just going to give you teams, and you tell us if they're contenders or pretenders, if they're good or they're just flat not good. Is that okay?
You got it.
Okay, let's start with the top tier teams. Gonzaga.
You know, obviously, I think the favorite to win the national championship.
What about Baylor?
1A.
You think those two teams are by far the best in the country?
I think Michigan is in that top tier as well.
Ohio State.
Very, very good. Still on track to be a one seed.
Iowa.
Probably in the 2-3 range, outstanding offensively, probably a little bit underrated, considering they haven't been the best defensive team. You know, everybody wants to talk about what they don't have. I think more people need to talk about what they do have.
Alabama.
Explosive offensively, vastly improved defensively. You know, one of the great defensive stories that I can remember covering in all my years covering college basketball, they gave up over 80 points a game in SEC play a year ago. Now they're in a situation where they're one of the top teams in defensive efficiency nationally. Alabama's an explosive offensive team. The one thing I'm just holding a little bit of reservation for is this has been a very watered-down year in the SEC, and Alabama's best non-conference win right now is a neutral site win over Stanford. So capable of being a second weekend team beyond that, I'm not so sure yet.
How did Nate Oates do this at Alabama?
Well, I think Nate deserves credit for being obviously a great offensive coach. He was one at Buffalo, but this has all been, I think, a byproduct of a bigger commitment defensively. You know, if you remember last year, Kyra Lewis, who was obviously one of the top point guards in last year's NBA draft, was on their roster, and they still, you know, could not be 500 in the SEC, but with obviously some good recruiting, with obviously a great year from Herb Jones. And, you know, I think really a style that has been very, very difficult for a lot of people to figure, and the improved commitment to defense, which has been the big difference, you know, more of a focus on, from what other SEC coaches tell me, of, you know, getting in the gaps, taking away what other teams do well. He has went from being an anemic offensive team to, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the country.
John Rothstein, College Basketball Insider, CBS Sports, joins us this morning on the show. Let's talk Blue Bloods here. What about Kansas?
Kind of in a different type of situation, DA, because every single year, you know, the conversation revolves around Kansas as we're getting closer to March is, are they going to win the Big 12 regular season title? And, you know, obviously, are they going to go to a Final Four and have a chance to win a national championship? It's complete opposite this time of year. And I think it could be the type of season where if you're Bill Self, in a lot of ways, you're going to the NCAA tournament playing with a little bit of house money because nobody expects you to go far anyway.
It's an interesting, flip of the roles for Bill Self and company. What about Duke and Jalen Johnson? Are they better without him?
Well, they're definitely better without him. And, you know, I had talked about this, you know, at length last week, like a lot of people did, so I'm not going to go into it again as well. But you look at their team now, and one of the things that's changed in Johnson's absence, and they haven't lost a game without Johnson in the lineup, is it's opened up an opportunity for Mark Williams to play more alongside Matthew Hurt. Mark Williams last night against Syracuse had his best game of the year at 18 points and 11 rebounds. But one of the things that Mark Williams has done for Duke is he has allowed better spacing on the floor for Matthew Hurt at the stretch four spot. And look, I know that Matthew Hurt wasn't probably in his most proficient form last night. He had a solid game, even a spectacular game. But the three games prior, Matthew Hurt was playing like one of the best players in the ACC. A big reason for that was because he is better served playing with somebody who can open up the floor for him. Mark Williams does that, and Duke right now, again, similar to Kansas, is in a complete twist of roles because they're trending upward in an underdog type of role. It's really kind of like the Bizarro episode of Seinfeld.
You're the best. So we're going to see a March Madness with Duke in it?
If I was a betting man, and to quote Jim Fossil, the longtime coach of the Giants about 20 years ago, when he said this is a poker game, I'm shoving my chips into the middle of the table, I would believe right now that Duke will play well enough down the stretch to be in the NCAA tournament on Selection Sunday, which is just 19 days away, not that anybody's counting.
Last year, UNC was an absolute train wreck. This year, they're the fourth best team of the ACC. How'd Roy do it?
Well, this still is not a vintage North Carolina team by any stretch of the imagination, but the backbone of Roy Williams' teams over the years, in addition to having elite point guard play, which he doesn't have, you know, on this year's team, he has very good point guard play at times, but he has two freshmen, and R.J. Davis and Caleb Love, is just a relentless approach on the backboard. I mean, you think back to the team that won the championship in 2017, and it had Isaiah Hicks and Kennedy Meeks and Tony Bradley and guys like that up front. This team has De'Ron Sharpe, Garrison Brooks, Armando Bacot. So they're in a situation where they, for all intents and purposes, have been ruthless on the backboards. And again, I know we're seeing a little bit of a theme here, but North Carolina is going to go into the NCAA tournament with a little bit of house money. And I've said this time and time again, the door has never been more open for non-blue blood programs who have never been to a Final Four, you know, or obviously have never won a national championship to make their run. And that is why you look at obviously teams like Gonzaga or Illinois or Iowa or, you know, teams of that nature, you know, that have an opportunity, or Alabama, Florida State, even though Florida State's been very good the last 5 years under Leonard Hamilton. The door has never been more open for a team with that kind of ilk, a non-blue blood, to make a run and go to the Final Four.
Kentucky is 8-13 overall, 7-7, middle of the pack of the SEC. What has happened to John Calipari's program?
Well, I think what we're seeing more and more in college basketball, and Gonzaga and Baylor are perfect examples of that. Player retention and retaining your own personnel has become the key to winning at a high level in college basketball. In last week's AP Top 25, among the top 10 teams in the rankings, 40 of the 50 starters on those 10 teams were in their programs the season prior. That is a sign of player retention. That is a sign, again, of making sure that bringing back your own personnel is vastly more important than what you bring in. And I think if you look at the teams at the top of college basketball right now, everybody at the top has had a strong sense of player retention. I mean, Michigan, I know, has added a couple of transfers, but Eli Brooks, Franz Wagner, Isaiah Livers, you know, those guys were all obviously in the program a year ago, and, you know, there's something to be said for that.
The Big Ten has the number 3, number 5, number 4, 3, 5, 9. I'm getting those all mixed up. But, what, 4 in the top 10. The Big 12 also has a number of elite teams at the top of it as well. Better conference, Big 12 or Big 10?
Big 10 is deeper. There's more teams. But I firmly believe this, and I was talking to Mike Boynton, the head coach of Oklahoma State, this morning, who obviously had a great win last night over Texas Tech. You know, you could make a case, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but the other six teams in the Big 12, aside from Baylor, Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Kansas, Oklahoma State, could all go to a Sweet 16. They're all good enough to win two games in the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen, but it could obviously develop with the right draw for all seven of those teams. I look at the situation in the Big 10, and I see four teams, Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, and also Illinois, that are all good enough to get to a Final Four. After that, I think I would be surprised if any other teams in the Big Ten's in the second weekend.
Give me a sneaky, good, mid-major, non-power conference team to keep an eye out for in March.
How long is your program again?
You got like 47 minutes or so.
Well, I mean, I look at mid-major differently. Like, I don't consider the Mountain West or the Atlantic 10 to be your vintage mid-major, so to speak, because, you know, they obviously have high major transfers and things like that. But, you know, Loyola Chicago is an elite defensive team, a better defensive team than the one that went to a Final Four in 2018. Western Kentucky has an All-American caliber big man in Charles Bassey, and Western Kentucky has already won a road game at Alabama. They're also going to get another chance to earn a big victory on Thursday night against Alabama. Boise State and San Diego State out of the Mountain West will meet this week in what I think is one of the great off-the-radar games on the schedule. You know, if you don't really make appointment television to watch that, you officially hate fun. And then I think if you look at, you know, a team that is in Gonzaga's conference, but is underrated nationally probably because of the greatness of Gonzaga, is BYU. The Cougars trending towards their second NCAA tournament berth in a row, or at least being in position to qualify for the second year in a row under Mark Pope. So it's a fascinating, fascinating dynamic as we wait and see obviously what transpires between now and Selection Sunday, which is, again, just 19 days away. Not that anybody's counting.
No, of course not. We have a close relationship with the Winthrop Eagles program here on the show. We have a member of the show, Dave Friedman, who's the voice of the Winthrop Eagles. And so we follow them quite closely here on the show from our listener standpoint and our standpoint. They are 17-1 in the Big South. They are 20-1 overall. Could Winthrop be a sneaky, interesting team in the tournament?
Absolutely, because they play so many guys. I mean, it's kind of like run almost like a hockey team with how they shuffle people in and out. And, you know, Winthrop has a player that could really flourish and become a star in the round of 64 if the Eagles were to win a game. In 6'7", you know, guard, you know, Chandler Vaudrin, he reminds me a lot of the team that the guy who starred on the team that Brad Underwood had in 2016 at Stephen F. Austin, Thomas Walkup, somebody who, you know, can just do a little bit of everything at his size. He can pass, he can dribble, he can shoot. So if you're looking, obviously, to double down on Winthrop, the name you need to become familiar with is Chandler Vaudrin.
Love it. Hey, before I let you go, tell me about how this is going to set up. Will you be in Indianapolis jumping from site to site? What's the media situation going to be like for fans, et cetera, at the NCAA tournament? Everything's going to be in Indy.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, our studio is always here in New York, and, you know, we'll have studio shows on CBS Sports Network every day. So I am just going to be prepared. You know, we have a lot of time to fill if we got to talk about Winthrop, Colgate, or Drake, or UC Santa Barbara's done a great job. They've won 12 in a row. You know, I'll just be prepared to go on and talk, and wherever they send me, they send me. The mission, obviously, is Operation March. There's 6 weeks left. I'm already obviously combing through my top 45 for next season. And remember, it's not anarchy. It's just college basketball.
I love having you on the show, so I want to also give you a pop on the T-shirts. You do a ton of amazing college basketball T-shirts as well. So tell me about this and tell our listeners about this.
Well, it's just something, D.A., really, that I'm not directly involved with. Just a little bit before last season, an outside marketing company reached out to me and said, you know, you have these one-liners that seem to get a reaction from fans when their team wins, or sayings, you know, I think we can do something, you know, from a merchandise perspective. So I was obviously excited about the potential for the project, and I want to just also point out that, you know, a portion of the proceeds I wanted to make sure went to a good charity when I started this venture. And, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, we've partnered with a great charity, Mission Continues, which is a charity that focuses on, you know, providing, you know, the appropriate type of relief and obviously help for our veterans when they come home from war. So that's something I'm really excited to be a part of here, as obviously that venture continues.
Very cool. I think my favorite is Death Taxes Matt Painter. I think that's my favorite T-shirt.
And it used to be Death Taxes Bo Ryan, but, you know, I started to say, like, I think 1-9 Studio, because, like, Purdue kept replenishing their talent and being at the top of the Big Ten. I was like, you know, in a lot of ways, Matt Painter has become the new Bo Ryan. And I was like, wait a minute.
Follow John on Twitter, at John Rothstein. Follow him on Instagram as well, at John.Rothstein. He's such a cool follow. He's such a great guy to have here on the show to educate us in college hoops, man. It is good to hear your voice again, bud. Enjoy those wings and waffle fries over at Bar Coastal. Hopefully I can hang out with you again, and we'll talk to you again, hopefully, closer to the tournament.
We sleep in May.
Okay, thanks. John Rothstein. We sleep in May. That's what he says. Instead of goodbye, thanks for having me on the show. Good to talk to you as well, DA. We sleep in May. That's okay. So, already have an entire segment mapped out for tomorrow. We are going to play all of John Rothstein's references. All of them. The Rambo 2 reference, the Back to the Future reference, the Death Taxes Matt Painter reference. All of them, we're just going to string them together and have one giant John Rothstein montage. When we come back here on the DA show, we have Stunned to a News, and I've got a great non-stunned but stunning to a news story as well to kind of piggyback with Bogish next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Yeah, be here all day, big boy. Come on, bring it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Come on, I'll be here all day, baby. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A reminder that the DA show you can watch every single day. Watch at watchda.com. That's available on any device. No sign-up needed, no cable provider needed, no subscription fee. And you can watch us on Twitch. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel there on Twitch. It is a Trash Tuesday, so getting through to your trashes. Lonnie tweets, happy Trash Tuesday, A. I'm trashing Arnold Bogus. During that last update, he said Russell Wilson helped beat the Lakers. Even the great ones slip up sometimes, but we still love you. That was Russell Westbrook. Okay. Trash Arnold Bogus today.
So frustrating.
A friend of Beef Pilati. Arnold Bogus.
I even typed it, not just said it. I typed Russell Wilson.
Jay that's even better. Jay yeah. tweets, I'm trashing Schwartz for attempting to tell ESPN how to do their job in one of his latest tweets. Hashtag Marshmallow Mraz. Hashtag Goodenburgers. Trash Schwartz.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Schwartz tweeted, memo to ESPN. The Islanders no longer play in Brooklyn. They play at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. Next season they will move to the new arena also on Long Island. Please make a note of this. Because in the app, for ESPN, the app's little box score of the Islanders and Sabres game, at the very bottom, game information, it has the game line, It has the linesmen. It has the referees. It has the capacity of the arena. And it happens to say Brooklyn, New York. This, the greatest thing, the most humanitarian thing the Mraz family ever did was allowing this bozo to the block party. I mean, Schwartz is a walking disaster. Imagine saying you don't care about the football in the Super Bowl, but you do care enough about the bottom line, the lowest line of a meaningless February hockey box score that happens to have the wrong site for the game that was the right site a year ago. I mean, imagine caring that much about that minutia that the ESPN app doesn't say Nassau Coliseum, instead says Brooklyn. Doesn't say Hempstead, says Brooklyn. Imagine caring about that, but not caring about Brady versus Mahomes. Imagine. This is what we got with Schwartz. I mean, honestly, the greatest charity that the Mraz clan ever did was extend an invite to this bozo to the block party. I can't believe it. Trash Schwartz again. Thanks for bringing that to my attention, Jay.
This must be garbage time.
Mac and Bear tweets, morning, DA. Trash the guy that was speeding down Route 83 in Maryland. Hey, fool, slow down. It's icy out there. Trash Tuesday.
Are those maggots?
Knockout Neil. I'm trashing Pepto-Bismol. Why do they go falsetto when they sing diarrhea? It's gross. You can't class that up. Just ask Dave Chappelle. Trash him.
I smell rotten eggs.
Okay, so I got a non-sports story for you, Bogues. Before we get to the non-sports, stunned to a news. Okay, you ready for this?
I'm listening.
Did you see today, this is trending on Twitter, that El Chapo's wife got arrested on U.S. drug charges?
I saw the headline. I did not click on it to read the story.
Okay, so Mexican drug kingpin El Chapo obviously has been incarcerated a couple of times, escaped from Mexican jail a couple of times. People said you can't hold this guy down. He's impossible to pin down. He's escaping from prisons. He had to get extradited to the States. El Chapo's like one of the most notorious drug dealers in the history of the world, okay? Turns out that his wife, who's a 31-year-old former beauty queen, was arrested at Dulles International, that's just outside D.C., and is expected to appear in federal court in Washington today. Okay? Her arrest is the latest twist in this bloody multinational saga involving El Chapo. Turns out that the feds think that she was specifically involved in helping him not only run the drug cartel, but also escaping him from prison twice. Now, I want you to just kind of picture this. She's a 31-year-old former beauty queen. Okay, so she's not some grizzled, aging, you know. She's 31, and she used to be a beauty pageant queen. And not that long ago, and now the feds are like, oh yeah, she's like number two in the drug cartel, okay? So she's charged with conspiracy to distribute cocaine, meth, heroin, marijuana, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. But the details. Now, she has apparently helped the prison breaks, which are just the stuff of legend. In one case, he escaped through an entry under the prison shower to a mile-long lighted tunnel with a motorcycle waiting, and that she played a key role in this. The plot included her purchasing land near the prison, buying the firearms and an armored truck, and smuggling him a GPS so that they could pinpoint the exact whereabouts of him in that tunnel and helped organize the construction of the tunnel. Now, you might say, well, DA, this is crazy because she's El Chapo's wife, and he, I'm sure, organized this, and she didn't really know much about it. They're just tagging it to her. But how about this? She is the daughter of another drug kingpin. So he married the daughter of a drug empire. She happened to be a beauty queen, but she knew the business inside and out. She knows the inner workings of this. The two are 30 years apart. She's 31. He's in his 60s. So how about this, folks, that El Chapo's beauty queen wife arrested at Dulles International, going to be in court today in D.C., and she might be just as dangerous as he is.
Yeah, and we're just saying a lot. I mean, I don't know. The gap between them might be bigger than the gap between Trevor Lawrence and Zach or Luke Wilson at the moment. Uh-huh, but yeah, sure, I mean, yeah. This lady is not messing around. However she compares to hubby, you do not want to anger her either, it sounds, because if she can't go to him, she can go to her dad to get the revenge on you. So yeah, I'm afraid, and I'm glad I'm in New York and not in D.C., because this is a crazy, crazy story. I don't know if this is factual or not, but the tunnel thing, I don't know if you watch Narcos, but Narcos, the last season, last two seasons, actually, El Chapo, a young El Chapo. No, of course you don't watch Narcos. You barely watch Breaking Bad. But Narcos on Mexico, on Netflix, he's been in the last two seasons. And in the last one, they built a tunnel underneath the U.S.-Mexico border to try and get coke from a house that they bought across the border, sneaking to the American side to then sell it here in the States. So El Chapo has a deep history with tunnels to commit crimes, it appears.
So I like this story because it does show that...
You like love stories. You're a romantic at heart, and you love true love and people going the extra mile for each other.
You knew where I was going with this. So yes, I love true love stories, and I love also when life brings you together with somebody of like mind. You know, I mean, this is, who could be a more perfect wife for El Chapo than the daughter of a drug kingpin? It's perfect. She knows the family business. It's like you run your own auto body shop, and then you find a girl that happens to have grown up in an auto body shop as well. And you're like, wow, you know the business. You get me. El Chapo saying that to his wife. You get me. You understand murdering people for the drug trade. You understand building mile-long tunnels and having motorcycles waiting at the end. You get me. We have to be together. Even though we're 30 years apart, we have to be together. So that's the part that really warms my heart here. El Chapo found a kindred soul, a kindred spirit.
You are so right. There are so many things these days that try to disprove the idea of a greater power, that somebody somewhere is in charge. But, you know, yet you get things like Vince Quinn having to be on the same street when Peter Schwartz falls onto an iron fence and pierces his hand and goes to a vet. Somebody put Vince Quinn there to tell us, and someone put this woman near El Chapo so they could complete each other, both, you know, physically, spiritually, love-wise, and as well from the business sense.
Yeah, El Chapo telling this woman, "You complete me," is the love story I need. So, folks, as our headline this morning, what did Russell Wilson do last night?
I don't know what Russ did last night. Russell Wilson, that is. Russell Westbrook did help the Wizards beat the Lakers 127-124 in OT at Staples. That's five wins in a row for Washington, three straight losses for L.A. Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, I believe those are their names, were out again for the Lakers. Meanwhile, it was a good night all around for the Heat. They didn't wear those Miami Vice unis we trashed earlier in the show, and they won in OKC.
Bam, working against Roby. Now to Robinson for three. Got it to go. Duncan Robinson picked a great time to get hot. That's his sixth tray of the ball game.
how quickly this
thing is heard on Heat Radio, Duncan Robinson finishing with 22 points on those six threes in a 108-94 victory over the Thunder. Miami now heads home after a 4-3 road trip. The Jazz ran away from the Hornets 132-110. Utah got an NBA record 19 threes from its bench. The Suns got 34 points from Devin Booker to thump the Blazers 132-100. The Mavs beat the Grizzlies 102-92. And the Bulls kept the Rockets struggling 120-100. Houston has dropped 8 in a row. On the heels of the Fernando Tatis Jr. contract, new Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor could get paid next. He said yesterday there's mutual interest in an extension with the Mets, but
we haven't found the time, you know, and I obviously got to get to know the organization, get to know the people, and they had to get to know me. If something comes up, we'll see in the future. That's between my agent and Sandy and the rest of the staff.
We also have Astros shortstop Carlos Correa saying yesterday he doesn't want to discuss an extension once the season starts. It also does not sound like he'd give Houston a hometown discount to keep him. College hoops last night. Oklahoma State beat number 18 Texas Tech 74-69 in OT. And on ice last night, the Flames beat the Leafs. The Kings won in St. Louis. And the Golden Knights down the Avalanche all by a 3-0 score. And now we're stunned.
Woo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I don't know how people do it. I don't know how you date multiple people at the same time. I don't mean in necessarily a nefarious way, just like when you're single and you're out playing the field, and especially nowadays when you can see what people are doing on Instagram or Facebook. Like, I don't know how you could have multiple balls in the air. I've always been focused on one lady at a time. So Jason Collier is the exact opposite of me. He is the police chief in tiny Stinnett, Texas. He is married to, I assume, a wonderful woman named Opal, but had at least two girlfriends. He proposed to one of them in November and to another in December. So one actual marriage, two fiancés. Things were going well for Jason, too, until girlfriend number one outed him on the Facebook page of the Stinnett Police Department. The other two women soon were involved, and Collier was obviously in trouble and embarrassed, but it was mostly just personal trouble and embarrassment. But then one of the fiancés shared an annulment document that he showed to her to prove that his marriage was over so that he could be all of hers. However, he allegedly forged that annulment document, and now recently he's been arrested by the Texas Rangers for forging a government document. So his really tangled love web has now gotten him in trouble with the legal system and not just three angry women.
Stinnett, Texas, for those wondering, in the northwest corner of Texas, about an hour and 45 minutes from the New Mexico border. It's outside Amarillo, so it is out there. As you said, it's a fly speck on the map. So you're telling me that this guy had a wife. Do we know how long he was married for?
So, I mean, this is happening basically almost in real time, and he was at least, according to one of the fiancés, married to this woman up until 2016. That was his story, that they had split and got the marriage annulled in 2016. So, I mean, it's a multiple-year marriage. If it's still technically, legally going on right now, and he says it ended back in 2016, it obviously predates that. So it's got to be 5-6 years old at least, right?
So this guy's got a wife that he's not officially divorced from and two fiancés that he's proposed to. Two of them. So effectively, there's three full-time women in your life. You know what they always say is that if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. If you got three wives, you got none. At this point, you've got to make sure you focus here. And it's kind of like what I was saying before, that today in 2021, everything is at your fingertips all the time. You feel like you can just collect and hoard and do all these things. I'll have it all. I can have it all. Well, no, it doesn't really work that way. You're going to have to choose the wife, okay? You're going to have to get one of those, one fiancé. Does this mean he's also paid for three engagement rings? Three of them? because one is usually enough for most guys. This guy found the resources to spend, what, 6 weeks of pay on three different women? I mean, what is the Stinnett police chief make that he can spend on three engagement rings?
I mean, it must be nice, or maybe these ladies don't need fancy rings to accept his love and his hand in marriage. But yeah, I mean, and just all of these things, all of the stories, the background, like, what did we do last Tuesday? When's your birthday? When's our anniversary? Like, I can barely remember my one set of information. How is this guy not tripping? I mean, and he didn't do something necessarily to trigger this. There was a post on the Facebook page that got one of the fiancés to respond to it, and then all hell broke loose. So, I mean, he seems to have been doing a good job at keeping at least these three women, and there may be more down the story that other women have now popped up being like, yeah, I dated him too or whatever. So, like, this guy is, how does he have time to be the sheriff? He's just all over town with women.
This is extraordinary. Also, Stinnett, Texas is a dot. It has a total population of 1,800 people. Which my guess is we have people listening right now where their high school was bigger. That was like, that's like twice my high school. Could you imagine being engaged or married to three women in the town the size 1,800 people? 1,800. So that means there's like 900 women and you're engaged or married to three of them. That's incredible. Like, you are married or engaged to one out of 300 women in your hometown. One out of every 300 women you are married currently to or engaged to. I mean, how do they not find out? This is not a big town. And he's chief. He's also the sheriff, so he's got a notable position.
I think, yeah, one of the women was in Kansas, but even that, I don't know how far away she was. And if she was far away, what was his excuse for randomly going to Kansas over and over again for conjugal visits with fiance number two? Yeah, like, where is, I hate to like downplay the thing, I need to know the logistics of this. How did he figure this out? How did he pull it off? How did he see them all enough to keep them happy? And one of them was his actual wife, who you'd think would have to get like another level of treat. Like, that's who he lives with. So like, what story is he telling her to get away from her to go be with these other two women, at least two?
He has convinced his first wife that there's a lot of crime on the streets of Stinnett, and he's got to be out there for all of it. He's a, baby, this job's killing me. I haven't seen you in 3 weeks. I know. Stinnett, we've got three stoplights and a Loves, but I can't stop the crime on the streets, baby. I got to be out there.
She's walking around thinking this is the dirtiest town in America, that there's crime left and right. Nothing bad has happened, meanwhile, in reality, in years. But she thinks he's constantly out just finding bad dudes and arresting them.
The Batman of West Texas. Honey, job calls. When we come back, we got Epic Fail and your advanced analytics. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
After reports surfaced yesterday that there could be a reunion between Cam and the Patriots, our poll question today: do the Pats need Cam? Does Cam need the Pats? Or is it a disaster either way? 74% of you, overwhelming majority, said it's a disaster either way. 21% said Cam needs the Patriots. Only 5% felt like the Patriots needed Cam, which is weird because the Patriots have a better solution right now. I assume that they will. Cam had only 2,600 yards through the air, the fewest in team history for a quarterback that started at least 15 games. Second-year punter Jake Bailey had 21 more yards on his punts this season than Cam did on his passes. The punter had more yards than Cam had through the air. That's a problem. Now, we just did this story on West Texas, and Mike right now is in Amarillo, Texas, here on the DA Show. Mike, good morning.
Hey, D.A., how you doing? Can I get a beam up, homie?
Well, I would give you the zap. There you go. Yes, sir. What's up?
Perfect. Hey, you know what? I just want to hit on this police chief over here in Stinnett. Yeah. I'm just a short road trip away. That dude's actually up to like 13 to 17 women, come to find out.
No, are you serious?
I swear. I put that on my girls. So his whole deal was he couldn't be posted on social media because he was an elected figure. So I guess that's how he got away with it. And if you've seen this guy's picture, he's not the world-class gigolo that you might say. He's not a good-looking guy by any means.
Oh, my God.
So I guess that's just the options there in Stinnett. But if you've been through Stinnett, man, it's not a beautiful town by any means.
Mike, thanks for the info. That's incredible. That's incredible. He's up to 13 to 17 women now. He's getting exposed. Who has the time? Who has the energy? Who has the funds? Who has the money to be courting, siring 17 women? And it's a small town. How can you not know? How can you not see that guy? There's probably one movie theater. How can you not see that guy at the one restaurant? How can you not see that guy at the one gas station with one of his other 17 women?
And I don't want to celebrate the guy, but it almost like seems like he should teach a class or write a book about his ability to do this. Maybe he can put those powers to better use, but that's an amazing balance of time and effort and energy.
Yeah, work for like the detective agency for the state of Texas. I mean, you're wasting your talents here by being an undercover operative. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. I could not blow up my snow tube. Here it is.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I'm going to treat the snow like I'm having fun with it. That way I'm flipping the relationship. And
have fun with your snow.
Have fun with your snow.
Have fun with your marriage.
So I said, I'm going to go get a snow tube. Now I'm going to go sleigh ride. I go to Target and they're like, oh, we've been sold out of sleds forever.
Yep.
No!
They got a pool toy, okay? They got a pool inflatable donut. And I'm like, all right, this will work. I only need it for like a day. I start trying to blow this thing up. It is impossible. I would need an iron lung assisting me. It is impossible.
Wow, that's gross.
I am sitting on the couch in our living room trying to blow up a pool toy in February to go sledding for 20 minutes. My wife comes out of the basement. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm still blowing up this thing. She goes, I can hear you downstairs. Are you like choking to death? How are they making inflatables? That, to me, come on here. Help us out. I'm not a smoker. I'm in good shape, and I still can't blow up the pool toy.
Yeah.
You say it in jest, but can there be as many as six in this year's draft?
You almost have to, like, bite the nozzle, like, to break a seal to get the air in. I think it's designed to prevent the air from coming back out after you blow some in. But that adds a whole other level of skill to this operation that I also do not have.
Yeah.
And then you need, like, my little foot pump then sometimes doesn't get in enough to, like, puncture this safety membrane thing. And you're right. You got nothing. You're dead in the water.
You guys are losers. You know that?
It was brutal.
You have emphysema. That maybe you need to go see a doctor. Maybe you have no lung capacity.
I could be Jody Mack at this point.
This is really guesswork here.
You know,
Jody can do it in 2 seconds, by the way. It took you 2 hours. One breath for Jody.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
We had some callers suggest some alternatives. One said, how about an air compressor? Yeah, I got that. I actually tried that. I don't have the right nozzle to blow up an inner tube. I got something for my tires on my car, or something for like an air gun or a staple gun, but I don't have anything for a freaking snow tube. And one guy said, just go to your local tire shop and get one of their inner tubes for a tire. Well, now you tell me. Thanks to Sam Rubinoff on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti, your executive producer. Thanks to Andrew Bogish, a.k.a. Arnold Bogus. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.